Hello, everyone, and welcome to a Geekly Ink review. This week, we're going to do something a little strange, and we're just going to do a quick audio blast for The Hunger Games: Catching Fire with me, Tim Lanning, along with
Jennifer Cheek.
Yeah, so we just saw The Hunger Games, and we're like, you know what? The easiest way to give you guys a quick review of this is just to talk about it, as opposed to writing a billion words.
Yeah, and I have a lot of feelings anyway, and maybe they wouldn't translate to written words so much.
I honestly can't see a way that you and I would write a post together.
I can't even imagine what that would be like. We should try it sometime, actually.
But never show that to the light of day.
Because it would be evil.
You would step on all my art?
I would. I would make fun of your art. I would throw it in the garbage.
It's basically like, Tim, that's not a real sentence. Like, well, I'm an artist.
Listen, who are you to tell me about the rules of grammar?
Exactly. But we decided, hey, let's talk about that hit film, Hunger Games: Catching Fire, from the Hunger Games trilogy, which will probably end up being a Hunger Games quadrilogy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's confirmed now. So we're gonna do a review without any blatant spoilers in the beginning part, and then we will have some nice spoiler music, and those of you who've already seen the movie or who don't care about spoilers can listen to us talk about big spoilers.
Word. Yeah, so it came out, you know, this Friday, November 22nd, 2013.
And we went to see it the next afternoon, matinee.
Exactly. You gotta avoid the crowds. So let me first start by saying the theater was nice.
Yeah, if you're in Boston and you want to go to a nice theater, go to the Boston Common Lowe's.
Yeah.
Is that the name of it?
I think so.
I will say I am not a midnight moviegoer. Mm. Number one, I will fall asleep.
Yes.
That's certain. And I also didn't want to be stuck with all the tweens.
All the youths.
I don't want to be with the youths. I am happy for the youths. They care so much about this dystopian young adult novel.
Well, the love triangle.
Oh my gosh. Has there ever been a greater love story since that fantastic film and movie Twilight?
Well, I mean, I go back to the original, which is Star Wars, you know?
Yeah, the love triangle between a guy and a girl and her brother.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's funny. I keep seeing on the internet that Catching Fire is like The Empire Strikes Back.
It is the dark middle chapter, kind of, but not really.
It was pretty sad, actually.
So let's get into it. What were your general thoughts? We both read all the books.
It's been a long time, though. It's been like 3 years since I read the books.
What was your first initial thoughts on the very first film, The Hunger Games, parentheses, The Hunger Games?
I thought the first one was good, but not great. I think it's difficult. I was just saying to a friend yesterday, I think it's difficult with movies like this, the first movie, because you have to set up the world, and that takes a little while. So if you've read the books, you're pretty fine with it. But if you've not read the books, or if you've not read them in a while, you're kind of like, okay, this is kind of slow now. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, part of my issue with the first one, too, is like some casting quibbles. I'm like, this person doesn't look like I thought they would. But
yeah, but
that's
just happens.
Me being an annoying nerd.
Right. So with next, like, divorced of the book, I thought the first movie was fun. I like almost every single major AAA sort of tentpole release, because it's just like, wow, movies!
Like, this looks cool on the screen.
Yeah, it's like, this looks expensive.
I'm not a hypercritical person of movies. I'm not trying to be like an actual film critic. I want to have fun, so I try to keep that a lower expectation when I go into movies, so I just enjoy them.
Yeah, and you know, the first one I thought was Workman and its ability to hit all the basic points. But what, more importantly, was your opinion on The Hunger Games: Catching Fire?
I actually thought The Hunger Games: Catching Fire was fantastic.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I really liked it a lot. Which was funny because I was not super hyped about the movie. Not because it was doing anything wrong. I just kind of like, I don't know, I just wasn't in it. I hadn't really thought about The Hunger Games in a while.
I've been in some other series. The only reason I knew it was coming out was because of the advertisements on like,
the Subway sandwiches, and the nail polishes.
And the nail polishes.
Which I am ashamed to say I would love to own.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're into that capital culture.
Yeah, I'm in the capital culture, and I'm a terrible person.
Yeah, it's a problem, for sure. But, you know, I don't know, it's one of those things where you just kind of assume that going forward, the Hollywoodification slash the corporatization of these major properties, it's not going to be you know, they don't have to work for it as much. They got the success.
They already have a fan base that's going to go see it regardless.
Exactly. So they don't have to work as hard to make a dope-ass film.
Right.
But, you know, I really liked it. I think looking at it from both a reaction to the book and just as a movie-ass movie, I thought it was good.
I was very engaged the entire time.
Yes.
I did not feel bored at all.
Right, and I think that's the biggest thing with this one, is it moves along. It cuts out what it needs to cut out from the book, and it just makes a, you know, dope-ass summer movie released in the winter.
November.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think actually people, there's the two major times for movies are, like, around Thanksgiving and Christmas, because apparently a lot of people go see movies, like...
With their family, maybe?
Yeah, like, the day after Christmas.
I can see that. No, I think my family always used to go see movies and stuff. Yeah, maybe not, like, the day after Christmas, but around, while I was home on break and stuff.
Yeah, and then there's, like, you have nothing to do during the summer, because, gosh,
kids. Oh, the summer.
Ugh.
Another thing I thought... This movie was definitely, not like the first movie wasn't dark, considering that it's a movie about, you know, children and young adults killing one another, but this one felt more heavy.
Right. I think the first one really leaned on the child murder.
Yeah.
And
this one more on just like this one was like the aftermath of that.
And sort of like an oppressed people.
Oppressed people, yes. Like,
you know, you could look at it anywhere from, you know, I mean, I'm connected to real life things, but please don't be like, you know, like apartheid or, you know, civil rights movements
other injustices in the past.
And you can definitely see how it's like these people would like to have their lives better, but is it worth the sacrifice to, you know, rebel or whatever? So you definitely get a vibe that these people are being crushed down, and even if they fight and die, it's worth it.
Another thing I thought that the film did very well was juxtaposing these really heavy scenes with a little bit lighter scenes, which were very necessary because some of it was just really sad.
And I think the Hunger Games 1 was very funny, but again, like, sort of the dark humor is more evident in this adaptation of the books, where it's like, here's this really dark thing, and then... You know, a character is making light of something else, or just not
quite getting
it.
This character made a funny face.
Exactly. Or, you know, everyone in the Capitol with a ridiculous wig.
Right.
Meanwhile, the people who are about to fight are... Yeah, exactly. So they do a good job of both making referential jokes that are just funny. That's Stanley Tucci.
Oh, my God. How do you feel about the acting in general in the movie?
It's... Better than the first, I would say.
I agree.
I've kind of thought that Jennifer Lawrence was a little stiff in the first one. I would call it workman.
Mm-hmm. You like that word.
I do like that
word. I'm not sure if I know what it means.
It's just, you showed up and you did it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like you give about your solid 85%. You're not doing any more to get your
not
raise.
Not like bad, but not like the best.
Passable.
I just want to say that Stanley Tucci is a treasure, and... I feel like if he had not been in the movie, I would have cried more.
Yeah. I mean, he's amazing in the first one, but they give him a lot more screen time.
It's really great.
And
Elizabeth Banks, also wonderful in this movie.
Also wonderful.
As Effie. She did a really great job.
She shows a little more broadness of character, too.
Yeah.
As opposed to the insane sort of one-dimensional capital person.
Right.
But overall, the story started, you know, it used the beginning to establish, here's where we are now. And then it just didn't stop. It gave you a small moment in the beginning to kind of get caught up. And for the most part, it's either action-packed. Well, I guess the only action is when they get to the Hunger Games again.
Right.
Besides that, it's still nonstop plot development on top of character development. And even if it's not, you know, people getting punched in the face, it's still... action-y, if that makes any sense. Whereas, you know, there's no world building. It's just, okay, well, these people are doing this, and it's all engrossing.
Yeah.
Sort of like when they're on their, in the very beginning, when they're on their tour.
Right.
When they visit all the other districts. That, I mean, not a lot happens, but it's like...
It feels very interesting,
exactly.
Though. Another thing, again, and I think I mentioned this earlier, talking about casting and, like, people who read the books, everyone always has lots of opinions about casting, and I know I had some doubts about some of the people who had been cast. Specifically, I was not sure about Finnick O'Dare, who was, I mean, wait, no, Sam Claflin was playing Finnick O'Dare. What's real and what is acting? I don't know. Anyway, I had some doubts.
Well, his name was Finnick O'Dare, so they had to cast him.
Yeah, exactly. He pretty much had to. Anyway, I wasn't sure if he was really going to be a good Finnick, but he was actually really great.
Oh, he was amazing.
He has the swag of Finnick, and that made me very happy.
Exactly. They didn't make... It was weird, though. They had the District 1 tribute, the career. He probably looked what I thought Finnick looked like from the book, but I think Finnick was more charismatic looking, as in not just some meathead type fella. You know, he had, you know, his dimples. He looked British as hell.
In my brain, I had always thought of Finnick as looking like Jesse Williams. So that's why I was kind of like, oh, that's like super white dude. What the heck? Because they talk about him being all like tan and olive skin.
Is he vaguely ethnic, or is it because his district is extremely good with the water, like the fishing district?
I don't know. I maybe it was just like wishful thinking that maybe they would cast more not white people. Jesse Williams in my brain. All that to say, Sam Claflin does a really good job.
And the way he talks sort of has this, he enunciates this weird sort of speaking from his diaphragm where he's not speaking loudly, but every bit of what he's saying is being carried forth from his mouth.
It's like professional actor voice.
Exactly.
Which where he is.
He's not talking loud, but you can hear everything he says and so forth. And maybe the microphone, I don't know. But
maybe the microphones do.
I just remember like listening to him and being kind of intrigued by the way that he spoke, which more than anything, the sexy Finnick was good at. And, you know, there is the way the story went, you know, let's divorce it from the book itself and treat it as a movie. The way that the story went, I thought, It did not really make the audience have to guess too much. As in, it wasn't unplausible, you know?
And also, it wasn't a type of movie that you had to have read the books to understand. Because, I mean, I've read them, but it has been 3 years, so I don't... There are major plot points that I have completely forgotten.
Exactly.
So... I understood what was going on. Maybe things were wrong and off in the books, and maybe if I read them again, I'd be grabbing.
Right, we spoke to one of our friends who had just recently read the book, and it sounds like it was, you know, spot on as much as you can be.
As much as you can be.
But I think it was one of those situations where it didn't matter, and it was definitely entertaining from beginning to end, and, you know, it was emotional, too. Where,
oh, God. Yeah.
You felt for the characters on screen, and you really, you know, I mean, it did its job of making you think, wow, these people in the districts have some real problems going on.
I am not a kind of person that cries in movies very much, but I might have cried a little, maybe more than once.
Who's to say?
Yeah. No one can tell the theater was dark.
Exactly. But again, it you know, you get sad, and then they pop over to Stanley Tucci, and he's... Just making the best of jokes.
Being the cheesiest and most, what's the word, campy.
Campy. He's
wonderful.
Really, he's really playing it up, hamming it up, so to speak.
He's got blue hair.
Another good
eyebrows.
Thing is that we get to see some other, I guess, characters who, you know, I think we had the juxtaposition in Hunger Games 1 with Katniss and Peeta as the sort of characters who were being thrust into the Hunger Games and they didn't like it. Versus the careers. It was sort of like
right,
this
yeah,
side and the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, there's the other characters that are like, this sucks. But this time, we got a lot more... resistance from the characters.
Yeah.
And it's...
It was
Without spoiling the major plot point, which is spelled out exactly in the trailer, you know...
hey, some people don't watch the trailer.
Exactly. There's other characters that are like, fuck this.
Yeah.
You know, this is...
I think this whole movie is the resistance, like resistance.
It's catching
fire.
Yeah,
the whole time, yeah. Like these, I don't know. These emotions are bubbling up. This rebellion's bubbling up in many places, and I think that's a main theme of the movie.
Yeah, and the whole concept of the scars that Katniss has from the first. I thought, you know, again, Jennifer Lawrence did a really good job this time going from many emotional highs and lows.
Yeah.
And it really kind of pushed forward this idea of what would happen to someone
who had to go through such a horrific experience.
Right. And
how do you move on? How do you continue to live life?
And there's a line in the movie where Haymitch says, "You don't win the Hunger Games, you just survive."
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just like the fallout of, you know, a surviving the Hunger Games and how terrible it can be, because all of the you know, it's not just the pain she had from, you know, the scarring or whatever. It's the emotional, the Capitol doesn't have any creams like they do for
your emotions.
Exactly. And just the way that she deals with that, I thought was emotionally satisfying.
And I think maybe it's silly to say that it was realistic, because, like, obviously this isn't set in a dystopian, not real world. But if a world like the Hunger Games worlds existed, I think that the reactions to the things people had happen to them are very real. They're very, very human. Very, mm-hmm. you could sympathize and empathize with.
Right, and we got to see some more of the past winners of the Hunger Games, and you kind of see, like, they're not, you know, Haymitch being the alcoholic is not so unique. You have the
right
characters,
everyone
that are
deals with it in
addicted
some way.
To drugs or or what have you. But
to change the subject a little to something more superficial, how did you feel about, like, the cinematography and CGI in it?
I thought the cinematography was fine. I mean, there wasn't tons that made me pause and be like, "Oh, dope shot." But,
well, I thought it was nice, though, because you get to see a lot of more of the Capitol, which is interesting.
Okay, so that CGI bit, yeah, it's fine.
That, and I don't want to say too much, but there were some cool CGI things in it.
Yeah, the special effects were great, you know.
It didn't look too, like, oh, man, super CGI.
I'll just say that the monkeys looked like monkeys.
I did not like them.
Yeah.
I did not like that.
And I didn't see it as an incredibly, like, heavy-handed filmed, you know, movie where it's like overly shot set up and stuff
You
know, I thought, and I think it moves way too quick to kind of have that focus on cinematography. But that being said, it's good.
Yeah,
you know, there's nothing bad to say about it, you know.
Well, sometimes, I mean, like, there are ways that it's distracting and bad. Like, a lot of people get upset about J.J. Abrams' use of lens flare in the Star Trek movies. So that's why I was asking. I didn't find anything. There weren't any, like, shaky cameras or, like, weird lens flares.
Right, a lot of action films will have battle sequences with incredibly shaky cameras to kind of obscure what's going on.
I also don't like it when the camera moves too fast, like, and my eyes can't, you know, focus on something. Mm-hmm. That annoys me personally in movies. That did not.
And there's actually a lot of long shots, which I was really impressed by, where characters had several sort of, like, emotional changes very quickly, and that I actually would say was very impressive, where it was, you know, like, they had to keep that going and not mess up and go from just kind of, like, confused to angry or sad to mad, or, you know, I'm always impressed when a character has to do, like, five different emotional things, you know.
Convey them all in their face.
Because I always just imagine them going off to be like, all right, you're going to cry in this next scene for 4 seconds. So they go off to the corner and just, like,
oh, I gotta get
man,
sad.
Think about what's sad, everything.
Think about my dog dying.
Exactly. But the use of, like, long shots I thought was really nice.
Yeah.
And the action was viewable, which, compare that to many films, and that's like 5 stars, like. So many action movies, you can't see what's happening.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Yeah. And, you know, there is an idea of battles confusing, and even the characters don't know that.
What's going on.
You know, on display. But for the most part, it was really nice. Is there anything else you want to discuss before we get into spoilers?
I think that's it for me. I think that's it overall.
Yeah.
I would recommend seeing it.
You would recommend seeing it? I think it's
worth it to see it in the theater.
I have almost nothing bad to say about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm curious what it would be like. We did not see it in IMAX or 3D or whatever.
I don't like those things.
We saw it in normal and it was great. And I definitely suggest you see it. Be sure to check out all of our other sort of content in non-video game or non-podcast podcasts stuff. on geeklygeek.com, add it to your RSS feeds, or make it your homepage, or...
yeah, do it.
Print it out every morning for the
print
bus.
Print it out for your less web-savvy, your grandpa, exactly, maybe. Exactly. Let him read it. He likes it.
You can find me on Twitter at Tim Lanning.
You can find me on Twitter at Jennifer Cheek.
All right, and if you don't want to be spoiled,
we'll talk to you later.
Yeah, get out of here.
If you do want to be spoiled... wait till after the music.
Yeah. Boo boo doo boo doo doo. Boo doo doo boo boo doo. It's spoiler time.
I want that to be.
All right, Jennifer. We're back. It's the spoiler zone.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to be here.
So. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Wait. I have to get my first spoiler in.
Get in.
I want that vest thing Jennifer Lawrence is wearing. I want that weird vest thing. It looked awesome. It looked warm.
Oh, in the beginning?
Yes, I want it.
Wait, so you're saying that this is a spoiler?
Yes.
The outfit, the weird... that actually bothered me. Can I...
what?
I was like, that is the
foolish.
Least... it's like a triangle of
it
cloth across her...
it looks so comfortable.
It looks so... they were talking about the knit thing that she wears in this crawl from the beginning. It looks like she has money. It looks like it was like blown off in the Hunger Games. It's like a triangle to cover up her left boob.
You don't understand fashion. It covered up, pretty sure it covered up both her boobs. And you don't know anything about fashion.
Oh. So, and Katniss does. Katniss hates the Capitol.
Katniss probably knows like nothing about
exactly.
fashion.
Exactly. And if she, and whatever she knew, she would go opposite. She would go full on front pants.
Wait, what? Front pants? What does that mean?
As in, she doesn't want to be she doesn't want to be attractive because the Capitol put her on display so much.
Well,
like,
she looked great, so...
oh, my God.
I really...
Jennifer, you realize that this is not a spoiler, right?
Well...
do you know what spoilers are?
I forgot... okay, for real talk. I forgot to talk about it before, and I don't want to talk about it now.
Well, my second spoiler is the water effects.
What?
I'm just kidding.
I don't even know what that means.
No.
Yeah, what spoilers... I forgot that Senna died.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the emotional ups and the emotional downs with this, the way they use Senna's death is just great. And, they really, for those of you who have read the books, they really drag it out to a point where like, are they going to do this? Because it you know, it goes 10 seconds until launch or whatever, 30 seconds, 10 seconds, and they talk for a little bit.
Well, like, maybe he won't die.
Okay. And then her tube closes and it's like, she has 2 seconds left, and then they start beating the shit out of him, and then she has a slow descent up the tube, and so she's like,
I was already so like sad at that point. I didn't even cry when Senna died because I was already so messed up from when they did the tour in Ruse in District 11. Is that her district?
I don't remember.
Ruse,
I think so, because it's closest to her, Katniss's. Don't look that up. Doesn't matter.
God, that whole scene was just looking at her, at Ruse's family standing there, and like all those little faces.
God.
Oh, they're so bad.
They were like the cutest kids in the world, and just
and there was no dad there.
There's no mom there either.
What?
Isn't that weird?
Is that a sister?
No, it's her aunt.
Oh.
I was going through IMDb, and I'm like, huh, okay. Yeah, see right there?
Oh, God,
Kimberly Drummond.
Well, that's even more sad then.
Yeah, it's, you know.
Orphans.
Orphan, or something.
Oh, my God.
It's,
oh, that's awful.
Yeah, Rue's aunt and Thresh's grandmother.
Oh, my God. And then that old man, they shot that old man.
I
cried again.
It was.
I cried again.
Yeah, District 11 is roughly, like... it's roughly the bread basket.
Like Midwest area, right?
Yeah.
Let me pull up my
I thought it was map. A little more, like, a little more southern vibe, too. Like, how District 12 is, like, middle south, and then District 11 is south-south.
Like, oh, yeah,
Alabama,
I think you're right, actually. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Like, Tennessee.
Yeah, the basic idea of Pan Am, which I'm still not too sure of.
Well, no, there's not really a map of it. It's just people extrapolating from the book. That's why. I don't think there's like a real official one. Hmm. And there's different ones, conflicting maps.
Gosh, I just wish I knew. But yeah, the way that they deal with that whole bit of here are these oppressed people, and here's what they do, and here's how they sacrifice themselves completely.
Well, it was just extremely moving, just to see the resistance from the people.
Yeah, once the resistance starts, and then you know, with Katniss being on the train, which are some of the quietest moments in the movie, where she either wakes up from a scary dream or her PTSD. And she walks over and she sees the Capitol's troops just watching the news or whatever. And you see, I thought that was an effective way to say
like riots everywhere.
Open riot, open rebellion.
And the one scene that was really, I thought was really cool, when they go in the tunnel and she sees that mockingjay
real quick
for like a second and someone painted inside of there. It was just like little signs.
Yeah, everywhere. And you really felt the like, you felt almost trapped for Katniss and Peeta as they were reading Effie's cards. When people were like, tell us how you really feel.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're like, dude, we have so much guilt for being alive. We have so much guilt for having to go on this tour. And we have so much guilt for having that old man die.
And probably lots more people.
Yeah.
Because it was like a full-blown riot.
Because so like the first one, like one guy did it. And then they showed another one. And there's like two or three people that got pulled out.
Yeah.
And then by the last, or one of the last, so they're smiling. And be like, yeah, let's, you know, read these cards. And they're just freaking out. And everyone's getting beat by the Capitol's guards, but you can just see them plastering on a smile while just being so sad.
So sad.
Yeah.
A thing that I really enjoyed in this movie was evolution of Effie and her reactions to things. She's kind of a ridiculous character and is very silly and into the, you know, fashions and like doesn't seem to understand that the Hunger Games is like killing people, but by the end of the
there's
movie,
a lot of, there's a lot of selfishness in her. She wants to use these children to become famous,
right? And or it's just that she just doesn't even see it. I feel like the people in the Capitol don't really see these people as real people.
They see them as like characters in a drama,
exactly.
Like they hate when they die, but they move on to the next thing.
Yeah, exactly. But in this movie, you see Effie cares.
Yeah, she goes on to say,
sending them out,
it's completely unfair what they're doing to you.
Yeah.
And that's not quite necessarily saying the Hunger Games are wrong. It's saying you won the Hunger Games, so you shouldn't go back in.
But I don't know. I think she is kind of starting to see.
Yeah, I definitely think it breaks through, but I don't think it's sort of a, I'm going to, you know, agree with the rebellion or whatever.
But I do think, I mean, it kind of shows that there are little seeds of rebellion. Even in the Capitol, there are people that are starting to be like, oh,
right, when
man.
The scene where when Peeta says that Katniss is pregnant.
Oh, yeah. And people start to be like, what?
Yeah, people freak out and they have to cut the feed. You know,
because everyone's freaking out.
Exactly. Caesar can't quite keep track of the audience somehow. And
it's like a little,
even them. But and for that, though, it's our favorite character, are about to have a dope-ass plot point, and you're going to cancel them, you know?
Right? It's not even like...
So it's kind of, you know, I don't really count that.
You don't think the Capitol people really care?
No.
Yeah, they just care, like, as, like, a character.
I think Effie starts to. And Cena always did, for some reason.
Can we talk about how the only people in the Capitol that are not, like, insane, like, not, like, stupid people are the ones that dress normal? Because Cena dresses pretty normal, other than his gold eyeliner.
Mm-hmm.
Plutarch dresses really normal. Doesn't have crazy hairs or anything. President Snow also dresses super normal. Everyone else is like, oh, ha, ha, ha.
You would say that President Snow's not crazy.
Okay, crazy is not the correct word, but he, like, has a grasp on reality.
Right, yeah.
Well, he just is, I mean, but, like, look at the rest of the people, like, how silly they are. Like,
exactly.
You know, they're giving, who's giving this speech? And the two of Cena's assistants are just like crying at that one part.
Oh, they're because it was one of the character. I think it was when Finnick was saying,
"Oh, he's talking about Annie,
my one love."
Yeah, and
they're like, "It's like who's buying this bull lark?"
And then it's like these ones over here.
Yeah, so
ridiculous.
They're still ridiculous man children.
I just thought it was a funny thing. Like that Plutarch is like totally normal looking.
the man who designs this Hunger Games.
Yes.
Yeah.
But also is leading a resistance.
Helping,
that we find out.
Exactly. So, I think one reason why it had to move so quickly is it had to go from fallout from the first movie, a little bit of their tour, and a little bit of the training for the Hunger Games, and then Hunger Games,
and then
they had to throw
the
in
the escape.
Which I mean is very quick. It all happens.
That's a lot
fast.
Of things that happen in one movie.
Exactly.
But,
I mean,
it happens in one book too. So.
Books. Weird that way.
They can have as many pages as they want.
But yeah, because you don't have to sit there and finish all of it. But they did it. I mean, I thought
And it didn't feel rushed.
They handled all of it. It felt fast, but not rushed.
It felt like it was paced well, I thought.
Very
not,
nice pacing.
Not fast or slow. Yeah,
and all of the sort of like, oh my gosh, moments were done great. You know, the deaths that needed to happen, and when Cena died, and, you know, the battles, so to speak, or the tributes versus the island or whatever, was really nice.
I feel like such an asshole because I know the whole point of the Hunger Games is to be like, this violence and oppression are bad, but while I was watching the fight, I was like, that guy's a trident and it's
dope,
awesome.
Dope, look at that dope
look
trident.
Look at him stab that dude.
Sword fight, kill that guy.
I was like, I'm everything that's wrong in the world. Also because I do like the weird makeup marketing that goes on.
Exactly,
which
yeah.
is ridiculous. Can we talk about that for just like 1 second?
Yeah.
The whole like, all the marketing for this movie goes against everything that the book is about.
Exactly. The Cover Girls capital style whatever ads I've been seeing makes me want to throw up in my butt.
I feel like that's, I somehow feel like the Subway sandwich is what is the worst though.
I think it's kind of silly because it's not really, it's not about hunger.
It's still,
it's not about like famine.
Let's battle the Hunger Games in your belly.
Yeah, it's silly, but it's not as bad because the book's not about hunger. The book is about oppression.
Right.
The reason, you know.
And the oppressing class is the one that's wearing the ridiculous makeup.
Exactly. I don't like that.
I know.
Because it would be like, again, this is jumping crazy. It's like if Inglourious Bastards came out.
And people started wearing like Nazi paraphernalia.
Exactly. You
that's
know.
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, yeah. Please don't be offended. This is way, way, way. You know,
oh yeah, obviously
but,
not in the same same level.
But within this world, you know,
it's just like yeah, it's like sympathizing with the bad, like the obviously bad people.
Exactly.
And like in and glorifying it.
Yeah. So
it's, not just sympathizing,
but
glorifying it.
But their fashion,
guys,
I gotta tell you,
those nail polishes are really cool looking though. I feel like a bad person.
I'm gonna dye all of my hair pink.
Yeah,
I think
you should.
But I'm definitely gonna change whatever my eyelashes are.
Oh,
for
and you
sure.
gotta get your eyebrows dyed.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should be purple.
Yeah. Pink hair,
like
purple
Caesar.
Eyelashes.
Does Caesar have a last name? I forget.
Yeah, Caesar Flickerman.
I was gonna call him Caesar Milan, which I know
Caesar
is
Milan.
Not right.
Caesar Flickerman.
Oh, that's right, Flickerman.
Oh yeah, he
is the fucking best.
Let's go back. If this gives him a spoiler because it's before, but gosh, his face. He can you win an Oscar for face acting?
His face is just so good.
His
Stanley
face
Tucci.
Is, yeah, best eyebrows.
I couldn't, in our theater, both we and specifically the people behind us, I feel like every time he would laugh, they would laugh.
We were lucky that we had people behind us that would turn like, oh, he's really funny.
And we had good people. It wasn't annoying. They weren't too talky, but just
yeah,
enough.
You usually don't like talking, but this is the,
what was
it sounds bad, but they sound like stupid people who say, what's on screen, like, oh, he's really attractive. Or he's so nice. Or he's really funny.
Didn't they say that about Pete?
Yeah.
He's so nice.
Pete's so nice. It's like, why are you turning to your friend and saying, Pete is so nice?
Oh, he's so nice.
What are you
too?
Adding to the conversation?
But Stanley Tucci did the best. I just want to laugh like him all the time.
I want that
so
movie.
Good.
I want a spinoff, like the Caesar Chronicles.
The Caesar Chronicles. Caesar Flickerman Chronicles.
Yeah. The
Caesar Flickerman Flick. A flick? A movie? Season okay, flicks. That was bad. I'm sorry.
Please. No. I think the sort of the breakout of the dome of the Hunger Games themselves was a stretch, but I think it was
little... Yeah, that bothered me, actually.
It was kind of a stretch in the books, too.
Because, like, all of a sudden, how are they going to get in if Katniss did not shoot an arrow with a wire attached to it up into the dome?
Well, I think...
How are they going
to
do that?
Yeah, I think the dude, the science guy, was trying to do it, but he either failed.
Well, he got, like, knocked out.
Yeah, he did it wrong, and he got zapped. So Katniss saved the day. I also think that Katniss gets saved a lot more this time.
Yeah.
Which is good. Not bad.
Like, I know in the books...
Because most movies have girls getting saved all the time, but Katniss was such a badass in the first movie.
Yeah.
This one, she's having a little... She does not want help, and she has to get help. So it's not a normal sort of sexist damsel in distress situation.
I thought it was interesting in the books. There's the whole mist scene. In the books, Katniss is carrying Mags.
Right.
She's a freaking strong beast.
Yeah. You know, she's a woods lady.
Yeah, but in the books, she's like super wiry. Like, she's not even like, I mean, I feel like Jennifer Lawrence looks like she could carry an old lady.
Exactly. Jennifer Lawrence has some meat on her bones. So
right. She's not like fat or
she's
anything.
She's one of the most gorgeous people in a unique way in the world.
Yeah. But she looks solid. Like, she looks like exactly. She could pick up someone. But exactly. I feel like Book Cat is like,
healthy.
Kind of scrawny a little bit.
Right.
And maybe that was a stretch.
Is there any way that we can take what we just said to be flattering? She doesn't look like a scrawny Hollywood person.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence is what I'm saying.
Jennifer Lawrence, like, if... I don't want to
talk about
her body.
If you're listening, Jennifer, I'm saying...
You're just beautiful.
You're very pretty, and I respect
you. I like your new haircut.
I like your new haircut.
It looks good on you.
Live your life, girl.
Do it. Have fun. Can we talk about this love triangle for a second? Because...
Okay.
Man. I feel like Gale being an ass. He's being an ass butt.
He's a scorned lover.
Yeah, but that's not... In the books, it was different than that. Like, in the books...
Oh, here we go.
I know.
We're in a post-Twilight society.
I'm doing the thing. But in the first book, they're just like buds. Like, he doesn't start to be like, Katniss, I have feelings towards you.
I kind of got the vibe. It's one of two things. I got the vibe that it was like that best friend thing where he loved her, but he couldn't say anything. Or it might have been that situation where he didn't know he loved her.
Until he saw her smooch someone else on TV.
Exactly.
But I just thought he was being so, like... buddy about it, like being mad at Katniss for, you know, smooching on PETA and having feelings for him. Dude, she did what she had to do to survive, and like, also, she does care about PETA because they like saved each other.
It's
don't be an ass
and horrifically emotional
don't
situation.
Like, begrudge her, you know, what she needed to do to survive.
Yeah.
Like, don't guilt trip her. Oh, I just really didn't like that.
Yeah,
made me angry. I mean, it's like, okay, obvious choice is obviously just choose PETA.
Right, right. I mean, the issue was, I think they're trying to show is like, even there's still a divide between Katniss and PETA and everyone else.
Well, the thing is,
they don't belong anywhere.
Yeah,
they're not part of the Capitol.
Right.
They're no longer part of District 12. They showed the what is it, the Victor's Lane or whatever they call it, where all the mansions for whoever wins, and there's only one being used in last movie with Haymitch. Now there's three. You know.
Yeah.
And I think it was just, you know, a little bit of necessary bit of like, I love you. I'm not quite super scorned, but I don't quite like what you're doing situation.
I don't know. This is an interesting, I just don't like the love triangle thing being like a thing.
Oh, you don't like it at all. You would prefer, but it is a thing in the book.
I know. I'm getting tired of that trope in general.
Where the woman has to decide.
Oh no, I must choose between these two.
I don't know if I even want any.
Well, Katniss like talks, but she's not really in love with either one of them. I joked on the Twitter machine. If you follow me on there, you may have seen me talk about this. At first, I was joking that, oh haha, Katniss should just marry both Gale and PETA, and they can have a polyandrous relationship, and it'll be cool. Those houses are big. It's fine. And then I joke, wait a second, how about this? How about Gale and PETA fall in love? And Katniss is just like their friend. She comes for dinner sometimes. Because she doesn't really seem like she actually cares that much about romance and relationships. Like, she cares about her sister and her mom. And she wants Gale and PETA to be like, you know, have happy lives and stuff. But she's not like super the romance thing.
Like, they so don't you're even, saying like, none of her kisses are real?
They don't even like bone or anything. This confuses me in the book too. I feel like if I was about to die, I would just
Is the writer like a... religious person?
I don't think
like
so.
Like the Twilight people?
No, I don't think this is like a Mormon Twilight thing.
Yeah.
I found that strange, because
they're like 16 or 17?
Yeah,
or like
I was a
16-year-old 16,
girl
17?
And I was about to go into an arena to like probably be killed, I would be 100% boning down.
That's you. I mean, you have a...
I'm just saying, if you knew you were going to die...
All right, especially since it's revealed that they sleep in the same bed constantly.
Hey, come on. Obviously, she's not interested in it. That's what I'm saying.
Well, she's a damaged and broken person.
I know. Well, so is PETA.
Yeah, but PETA loves
damaged.
Her.
Ah, man. Such damaged people.
Yeah. You have anything else?
I don't know. I probably do.
Do you want to talk about any more fashions that you find? Spoilers? Or... How about that wig? That gold, those gold things. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, I do want to wear that dress that Kat is, the black one.
Oh, yeah. That was hot.
Where she's in... Oh, it's hot.
It's hot. Because she...
It was hot.
The fire one?
The fire one.
Or the bird one.
Well, both of them. They're both great.
Damn.
But I was talking about the fire one when she's in the chariot.
Yeah.
And it has a weird neckline. I really liked it.
Yeah.
Again, it makes me hate myself how much I like fixate on like what people are wearing.
You're part of the problem.
I am.
Yeah.
Well, it was cool.
That is our basic thoughts of the Hunger Games Catching Fire. We definitely suggest not only to see it, but probably see it in the theater because there's some...
It looks cool on screen.
Cool. Yeah, what other way to say it? Cool. It looks cool on the screen.
Some movies some are great must sound. See. Some movies are must see in the theater. Some movies are you can wait and watch it later because, you know, it doesn't matter. But this one visually looks.
Yeah, and we've had a day to process, so it's not like, well, I liked it. And then I thought about it. I hated it.
No, I actually still feel good about it.
Still feel good about it. Yeah. Everyone we saw it with really liked it. A mix of book readers and non-book readers. And, I think if you kind of have a overly critical opinion on movies that do not follow the source material, I think you're totally fine with this one.
Yeah, I think overall it's pretty good.
Yep.
Granted, this is us saying this, and we have not read the books for like 3 years. So
but one of our friends said it was okay.
Yeah, one of our friends who just finished reading it said it was pretty good.
All right, well, again, thank you very much. If you have any suggestions on other medias that we can give the review treatment for on geeklyinc.com, let us know.
Yeah, tweet at us.
Tweet at us.
Tweet at Geekly.
I'm still Tim Lanning, in case you forgot.
I'm still Jennifer Cheek, but I don't know if I feel like it in my heart.
Yeah, that's true. And we'll be here having a love triangle waiting for you. Thank you very much for listening.